Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Jors, this morning. We are talking some Green Bay Packers football. We're wrapping up the NFL Combine, and thank you for joining us. First episode after about taking a week off to attend the NFL Combine. So glad you're coming back. Coming back for some Packers talk. It's leap year. February 29th, once every 4 years. But perhaps the significance of that date, if you're a Packers fan, today's the deadline to order a share of Packers stock. So if you're interested in that, make sure to get that done today. PackersOwner.com. Canada now can order them too. So yeah, deadline today. Make sure to do that if you haven't already. If you've got the cash, if you got the jing. But we'd love to have you on board. Be a Packers owner. But man, a lot has gone on since the last time we were here at Railbird Central. With the Combine going on, and Patrick asks on the live blog here, who impressed you at the Combine? Lots of positive impressions. You know, as a member of the media, they don't actually allow us to watch the Combine. Interestingly, it's kind of a little bit of a misperception. You don't actually get to watch the workouts happen. I'm just in a room, a media workspace where you get to interview a lot of the players, and which for me, that's very valuable. So it's hard to say who impressed me as far as drills and things like that, 40-yard dash, bench press. But you know, interacting with the athletes up front, things like that can impress me. And you know, I've said this before on Twitter, if you follow me, but a couple of the guys that have been impressed. That impressed me were Kirk Cousins, Michigan State quarterback. I really thought he just came off as a leader, a guy who is smart beyond smart, a guy who is well-spoken and just really could be the face of a franchise. Now, he's not Andrew Luck. He's not Robert Griffin. But I think he's a guy who could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Because he's got the mental part down. And really, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, I'm not making any predictions here, but could be a target of the Green Bay Packers. You know, he's kind of got the size and the head on top of his shoulders they would be looking for. And the Packers will be looking for a quarterback at some point. Now, I don't know how high of a draft pick they want to invest in a quarterback. But with Matt Flynn pretty much guaranteed to be leaving the Packers, you know, they're going to address the position at some point. But Cousins might take a second-round pick to get, and I don't know how high the Packers want to invest at that position. We will see. Another guy who impressed me a lot, and by the way, Kirk Cousins did perform well in the drills, so I've heard. That's the scuttlebutt. That's the word coming out of Combine. You know, with a lot of the top guys not throwing, Luck, Griffin, you know, there weren't a whole lot of throwers at the Combine, actually, or at least not the big guys. And so it's one of those things where, you know, it's he impressed because he was one of the few that threw, or at least he's one of the top picks that threw. Ted the Sledge asks, would Cousins be a good for the West Coast offense? Hard to say. You know, I think he can. He's so smart, I think he could pick any system up. Just a real leader. Running backs, Utah State running back Robert Turbin impressed me a lot. The guy exuded confidence. Just absolutely, you know, just... He was a tell-it-like-it-is guy. No nonsense. And just, you know, something that about him that makes those around him better. And he's not one of the top-rated running backs. But he, you know, he's going to be a mid-round guy. Was a teammate of DeAndre Burrell, Packers wide receiver at Utah State. Junior entry into the NFL draft. And he's a guy to watch. I just kind of looked up some of his numbers from the combine. He did well. 40, bench, things like that. Three-cone drill. He was up there. Not at the very top, but Turbin was up there. He's going to be a solid mid-round pick. And, a lot of the defensive backs I thought did really well. Dontari Poe, of course, defensive tackle. He was one of the highest risers at the combine, of anyone at any position, for being darn near 350 pounds and running under a 5-second 40-yard dash. That's impressive. My goodness. To see that guy rumble down the stretch there at Lucas Oil Stadium. Yeah, he's a stud. And, he's a lot like B.J. Raji and Ryan Pickett, the body type. I could really see him fitting into what the Packers do. But I've said this many times, if the Packers go after a guy like Dontari Poe, where's the pass rush going to come from? He's not a huge pass rusher. He's a run stuffer, no doubt. I don't know. Maybe this 40-yard dash time has got teams thinking maybe he can get upfield a little bit. I mean, he did play at Memphis. There wasn't a whole lot around him. So we'll see. Interesting stuff. Jamel Fleming, Oklahoma cornerback, really impressive in the drills. Was one of the top performers. He set the record, I think, if I'm correct, in one of the more obscure drills at the combine, like the three cone or the 20-yard shuttle. I forget which one. But set the all-time record. You're talking thousands of athletes. So, you do something like that and makes people take notice. So lots of stuff coming out of the NFL combine. But lots of Packers news, too. And by all means here, if you want to ask any questions, throw them out on the live blog, call the show, throw in the phone number up on our screen, 347-352-0154. You got any questions? That's what this is all about. Any insight I can share, by all means, ask away. But, lots coming from a Packers perspective, too, from the NFL Combine. Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson spoke to the media, and Ted Thompson didn't say a whole lot, as usual. That shouldn't be a surprise. But Mike McCarthy shed some light into several areas of the Packers and things he said that you could kind of look into and see some changes are coming. And one of those is the running game of the Packers. The run game's going to change. He's not satisfied with it. And nobody would really necessarily disagree with that, I don't think. Packers are never going to be a major running team, but it's a area of weakness relative to the Packers, the run game. Not getting a whole lot out of James Starks and Ryan Grant. But maybe it starts up front. You got the impression from Mike McCarthy that the zone blocking scheme was, maybe not what they're looking for anymore. They're not going to get rid of it totally. It's kind of been a staple, and it's what the coaching staff has preached ever since Mike McCarthy became coach in 2006. It's part of the offense, part of the system. Maybe there's going to be a little bit more, power blocking, things like that. So change could be on the way. And of course, the Packers have been drafting a little bit bigger offensive linemen lately. Think of Josh Sitton, of course. I mean, he's a bulldozer. I mean, he fits it. He fits that system, that power system. Brian Bulaga would be a fine power guy as well. Brian Bulaga, I think, could do anything. He really just is a very versatile guy. And I think the Packers got a steal with him 2 years ago in the first round. But TJ Lang, You know, look at him compared to Darren College. College, a finesse guy. Lang has a whole lot more power there. And Ted the Sledge on the live blog says, bigger center coming? You never know. And of course, that's another topic of discussion coming out of the combine. What are the Packers going to do with Scott Wells? Of course, him being kind of an undersized center, albeit he maximizes his size. I think Scott Wells is a very good center and would love to see them keep him. But if not, maybe they do go to a bigger guy. You can't get much smaller than Scott Wells at center, although he plays very well. You can't get much smaller. There's not many smaller centers out there. Comment from guest on the live blog. Where do you think Russell Wilson gets picked? I think Russell Wilson's a late round draft choice. He's the third day draft choice. I mean, that doesn't say much. That just means he's fourth round or later. But I mean, I think he's a fifth, sixth, seventh guy. You know, that Bob McGinn wrote an article on Russell Wilson and you know, laid it out. There's only one quarterback in the entire NFL shorter than 6 feet. One. In the entire NFL. I mean, that's including starters and backups and everyone. You know. It's just Russell Wilson. That's got to scare you. It's got to scare you a little bit, the height. Not to say he can overcome that. I mean, there's examples of guys who can. Doug Flutie. I think that's actually a pretty good comparison to Russell Wilson is Doug Flutie. Wilson's probably actually a little bit taller than him, not by a whole lot. But, you know, that's the exception and not the rule, though. I mean, for every Doug Flutie, there's, you know, how many guys just don't even make it to the NFL? How many undersized quarterbacks are there? I mean, too many to count. So it's a tough thing to overcome. And thankfully, Wilson does have the intangibles. You know, I think he's a leader. He does have good mechanics, good arm strength for his size, good mobility. So he's got a chance to make it. I think some team will be very happy to make him a late-round draft choice. Start out with him as a backup and see what they've got, you know? As long as you don't make this huge major investment into Russell Wilson being, like, expecting him to be a starter, you know, I think you could be very happy just as long with him, just as long as he starts off as a backup and you see what you've got. Maybe he develops into a starter at some point. Just don't expect it or hope for it right away. So that's my opinion on that. Patrick asks, what do you think is the deepest position class for this year's draft? Good question. I haven't really perhaps looked at the class as a whole, maybe. But, you know, I wrote my article on Sunday. The Baker's Dozen article, if you want to go to the homepage, Cheesehead TV, you can look through the archives. 13 potential draft choices I think the Packers could be available to the Packers at pick number 28. Assuming they don't trade up or down. And most of the players on my list were from the defensive line. I think it's kind of deep in that area, late in the first round. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of defensive linemen going early in the first round, and I certainly haven't gotten deep into my evaluations and my research into guys who are going to be going in the third day of the draft on the defensive line. But I mean, you know, what did I lay out? A half dozen guys from the defensive line who could be available to the Packers at 28? I mean, we're talking Devon Still of Penn State, Michael Brockers of LSU, Fletcher Cox of Mississippi State, Kendall Rias of Connecticut. Who am I missing here? Brandon Thompson of Clemson. And Jarrell Worthy of Michigan State. There's a half dozen right there. Guys who could end up with the Packers. Certainly not all of them are going to get to 28. But, you know, one of those guys is going to. I think probably Devon Still might be the best of that group, and he might be the first off the board. And after that, it's kind of a toss-up. Michael Brockers, he's got the size. He's got all the measurables you want. But, man, the production isn't really there for him. You know, that could be a bust pick. Could be a boomer bust pick, I should say. But that scares me a little bit. Just the production wasn't there from Michael Brockers. You know, if he's first-round material, why didn't LSU play him more? You know? He's young, though. I mean, he's still got 2 years of college eligibility remaining or something like that. Ted the Sledge writes on the live blog, I think Wells is gone, so I have not ruled out a first-round center yet if Cons drops to 28. Exactly. I did the same thing in my Baker's Dozen article. I listed one possible player at center that could be available to the Packers. One offensive player, and it was Peter Cons of Wisconsin. I think the Packers are going, unless Scott Wells leaves, and maybe even if he does leave, the Packers are going defense in this draft. They preach best available player, but I mean the Packers have needs all over the defense, pretty much every position. So I think there's going to be somebody there on the defensive side that they're going to have rated highly. So that I can't see him going offense unless Wells leaves, maybe. And even so, then Cons might be the only guy worthy of that first round draft choice as a center in the first round. Patrick points out on the live blog they might be able to get a free agent center. And very true. More news coming out of the combine. An article by Bob McGinn of the the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Writing an article that the Packers talked to the agent for Texans center Chris Myers, one of the best centers in the NFL, happens to be a free agent. They have interest in him. Nothing is inevitable here, but just talking with his agent, you know, getting a little bit of feelers in case Wells leaves, and nothing wrong with that. And you know, I think the Packers will go after a free agent center if Wells happens to leave. I mean, you almost got to address that position before the draft, you would think. I mean, even if it's a guy who's not likely to be the long-term solution. But I just look at age, and I look at a guy like Oakland center Samson Satel, and I think he's like 27 years old. He's one of the younger options on the free agent market. So, I mean, he's still got a lot of years around him, in him. But anyway, I see comments on the live blog. No sound. They've lost sound to the show here. I don't know what's happening. Everything looks okay from my standpoint as I'm trying to broadcast here from Railbird Central Headquarters here in Scotland. Stuart says, hearing you fine. We'll just keep plugging along. Seems to be depending on where you are, if you can hear this show or not. But anyway, where were we here? Also coming out of the combine, tackling woes. Mike McCarthy addressed tackling, how the Packers have to improve on it. He was asked how they're going to improve their tackling. He says, practice tackling. No doubt about it. The Packers were a poor tackling team in 2011. Part of the reason they were poor on defense this year, giving up the most passing yards in NFL history, the second most yards ever. Terrible. But yeah, a lot of the missed tackles came from the secondary. Came from Charles Woodson, came from Tremont Williams, came from Sam Shields, the corners. And you know, with Sam Shields, he's just not aggressive. He doesn't want to tackle. So I think that's part of the problem with him. With Woodson and Williams, they don't mind tackling at all. They're certainly tough, and they're not scared. But with those guys, one thing I wish I would have asked Mike McCarthy but is how much of it has to do with going for the strip. I see that a lot from Woodson and Williams, going for the strip and then missing the tackle. And, you know, I've said it on this show before, I don't mind that so much when the team is on their side of the field, when they haven't even reached the 50 yet. Go ahead, go for that strip, especially if you're tackling them from behind and they're not really looking for it. That's when a lot of forced fumbles happen. But, I just see it a lot from the defensive backs. And they're not the only ones. I mean, A.J. Hawk had his share of missed tackles. Morgan Burnett was in there too, and you can kind of, speculate whether his issues, his troubles had to do with his broken hand, you know, wearing the club cast. But anyway, so that's an issue. Patrick asks on the live blog, could we trade AJ for anything? No. It's just not going to happen. You know, I don't think anybody wants to pay AJ Hawk the contract he's receiving from the Packers. And AJ Hawk's contract is not prohibitive. It's high, no doubt, but it's not prohibitive. You know what? If you get rid of AJ Hawk, all of a sudden, holy cow, either DJ Smith or Desmond Bishop gets injured, and you're in a world of hurt, perhaps. I mean, that would certainly change the Packers, you know, perhaps what they do in the draft. But I mean, again, it's just AJ Hawk's going to be part of this team in 2012. I don't know about 2013, but AJ Hawk is going to be part of the team in 2012. I certainly think he needs to get off the field a little bit more. I think DJ Smith needs to be on the field more. But, you know, I just think AJ Hawk is going to stick around. And there's certainly a lot of positive qualities about AJ Hawk. Leader, you know, the guy who gets everybody lined up, the guy who receives the calls from the sideline, and a guy who is assignment sure and, you know, typically very healthy. I mean, look how long AJ Hawk's been in the NFL. What has it been, 5-6 years? And how many games he's missed? Yeah, I realized he missed a couple this past season. But very reliable, week in, week out. You know, you can count on him. And as I was starting to say, assignment sure. AJ Hawk is assignment sure as they come. He knows where to be. He doesn't always get it done athletically. But man, does he use the technique to his advantage. He spills so well. He uses the correct shoulder when taking on blockers to force running backs to his help. AJ Hawk does that tremendously. You know, he has athletic limitations. And that's been the biggest knock on AJ Hawk. He wasn't the player people thought he would be. It is kind of amazing. He looked such a beast in college. And I don't know. He's gotten a lot slower. Kevin on the live blog says, surprised no one's brought up the Finley contract extension. Glad to have him for 2 more years. Yep, that happened right before the combine. JerMichael Finley signing the 2-year contract extension. Made absolute sense for both sides. I can't believe nobody thought of something like that ahead of time. I didn't think of that. You know, a short-term contract extension that pays, you know, Finley what I think is exactly fair. Higher than it would have cost for the tight end franchise tag, but lower than it would have cost for the wide receiver franchise tag, about $7.5 million a year, and 2 years. The Packers get 2 more years out of him, which is great, but it also allows Finley to test the free agent market once more when he's still in the prime of his career. He's 24 now. He'll begin to free agency one more time when he's 26 and can still hit it big at 26. Really big, as you know, long as his play allows it. And you think he's going to want to have two big years here so he can get that payday again. But for the time being, I mean, 2 years, $15 million, that's nothing to scoff at. That's nice money for Finley. It made a lot of sense. A lot of sense for both sides. So I think it was just absolutely a great deal for both the Packers and Finley. Congratulations to them both. And, you know, here's to winning a Super Bowl in the next 2 years with them. But, you know, now the question is, of course, what do the Packers do with Scott Wells? And now what do the Packers do with Matt Flynn? Wow, oh wow. Okay, I wrote a post, and actually the idea came from Packers blogger Marcus Eversall, if you happen to read the post at Cheesehead TV, about the possibility of the Packers playing tag and trade with Matt Flynn. And not just any tag and trade. How about packaging Matt Flynn and the 28th draft pick, those two things, to the Miami Dolphins to move up to number 8 in the draft? How about that deal? That has gotten a lot of comments at Cheesehead TV. We're nearing 100 comments on that article. And just a lot of people, you know, it's like there's no middle ground. You either think it's a great idea or you think it's the stupidest thing ever and it's never going to happen. And you know, I never wrote that this is going to happen, but I said it's a possibility. And I know there's a lot of obstacles to it. I'm aware of that. But man, I mean, can you imagine the Packers doing this? This would be some big-time news. And, you know, if it does happen, it's got to happen in the next couple days. The deadline to franchise a player is next Monday. Yeah, so 6 days away. Time is ticking on the clock for that deal to get done. But I just don't think it's out of the realm of the possibility. Now that the combine is over, the Packers are going to be looking at doing a lot of things in the next, you know, couple days before the franchise tag deadline comes Monday. And then now less than 2 weeks till free agency starts. You know, they've got to talk with Wells on an extension. They've got to discuss perhaps trading Matt Flynn. They have to explore the possibility, at least. Ted Thompson wouldn't be doing his job if he wouldn't be, you know, exploring that possibility to better the team. Ted the Sledge comments on the live blog, I think it would take more than Flynn in 28 to get to number 8. And exactly. I do think if it were to happen, it probably would take more than that, too. The Packers might have to throw another draft pick in there as well. You know, say a fourth rounder or something like that. I think it would take more as well. But, I mean, even that. I think if you're Ted Thompson, and that's what it takes to move up into number 8 in the pick, and number 8 in the draft, I say do it. That's why I'm kind of a little bit of a proponent for it, because I'm like, man, you've got to improve this defense. And what a better way to do it than getting up to number 8 in the draft. And if the Packers move up, basically, they're looking at perhaps their choice of any defensive player in the whole entire draft outside of Morris Claiborne, the LSU cornerback. And I realize Quinton Coples of North Carolina is, you know, very highly rated and might be the first or second player, defensive player off the board in the draft. But very interestingly, you know, he's kind of one of the few guys that, you know, the Packers might not be interested in just because he really doesn't fit that 3-4 scheme. And now if Quinton Coples was there at number 28, he would be hard to pass up at that point in the draft because he could be such a good pass rusher. But as far as number eight goes, I'm not sure the Packers even want him there. So, I mean, really, think about that. Think about that for a second. You know, the Packers, outside of Morris Claiborne getting their pick of any defensive player in the draft, you want Courtney Upshaw? He's yours. You want Melvin Ingram? He's yours. You want your choice of defensive lineman? Devon Still? Michael Brockers? Whoever you think is the best. You can have him at number eight. That's why it's so intriguing to me. I don't know if it happens. It probably doesn't happen. But anyhow, it's something to think about, something to ponder. So enjoy daydreaming about the Packers with the number eight draft choice. We'll know within a few days whether it can happen or not. But anyhow, it's just been so much news has happened since the last time we talked here on Railbird Central. The Packers have said, again, through an article by Bob McGann at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they won't be moving Charles Woodson to safety. We've gotten an update on the injuries of the players who landed on injured reserve this past season. Alex Green, the running back, is coming along well. Andrew Quarles, the guy who, you know, had perhaps the worst-looking injury of anyone, that appeared to me to be both a broken leg and a ligament damage, he's doing well, apparently. At least that's what Mike McCarthy has said. And then the guy who I thought didn't have as severe an injury, Derek Sherrod, kind of the slowest to recover, which is a little bit of a concern. He just had a broken leg. I don't think there was any ligament damage. And, you know, they said it was a clean break, so it's, you know, it's something that, of course, takes time to heal. But, you know, they're just saying he's slow to recover, and it is concerning there with Derek Sherrod, last year's first-round draft choice. Something you didn't want to hear. I mean, there's still a lot of time. But, I mean, this could be something where you're looking at Derek Sherrod starting off the season on the PUP list. Maybe. Patrick comments on the live blog, can't wait to have an update on Collins, and that should be coming soon. You got to think right around the start of free agency, Nick Collins is going to make a decision there, you know, whether he'll be back or not. And so that's what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Donald Driver's on Dancing with the Stars. The NFL is opening up the opening night game on a Wednesday next year, which could involve the Green Bay Packers. The Giants, of course, will be hosting that game, but the NFL hasn't released their schedule yet, but it could be the Packers versus the Giants. We will see. So a lot of things going on. And anyhow, thank you everybody so much for joining us here on Railbird Central. Thanks for listening. And we got a whole lot more to talk about in the upcoming days with now the combine over, pro days get kicked off as early as next week, I think. And, you know, free agency starting. We got the franchise tag deadline next week. Whole lot going on as far as off-season news goes for the Packers. But, you know, thanks to Jamie Jors for being our moderator this morning, producing the live blog. And we will see you later, everyone. Have a good day. I leave you with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.